I'll have to confess that I almost didn't plan to preach this sermon last night, just my reflections, how I was feeling. We said goodbye to Dan Boone, his funeral was yesterday, and I was thinking of a psalm that I needed to deal with a grieving heart. And then I read the text again, and I read my sermon again, and I didn't hear Dan Boone's voice, but it was as if Dan said, "This is the sermon you're supposed to preach because it's about the kingdom." And I was about seeking first the kingdom of God. So we will hear from God's word, but let's pray and ask for God's help. Teach us, Holy Spirit, that we might see new, fresh, and powerful things in your word. Lord, you know we need you. We need you for salvation. We need you for strength. We need you for sanctification and sustaining grace. There may be someone here that doesn't know you personally. Lord, would you call them into the kingdom, that they would be born again and know Jesus Christ. Strengthen all who are believers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 18, it's our practice to go through and teach not just books of the Bible, but teach verses in consecutive order. We're at the betrayal, arrest, and trial of Jesus. Jesus has just been before the high priest, verse 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." Verse 32, this was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So, are you a king?" Jesus answered, "Yes, you say rightly that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to you, O God. Tom Holland is a historian, Cambridge writer. I've mentioned him before. I picked up his book during my sabbatical called Dominion. And he was seeking to answer this particular question, even as an atheist at the time: how did Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire was a society without a welfare state. It gave no value to the weak or the poor or the sick. And Christianity not only spread, but Christianity brought hope to every widow and orphan or prisoner or the hungry. Relief and hope filled the empire, and transformed by the fourth century, the Roman Empire, a pagan empire, to fall and declare Constantine's declaration that Christianity was now the official Roman religion. This now was the message: Jesus is Lord, not Caesar is Lord. And one who had been crucified on the Roman torturous death symbol, the cross, became the symbol of the most powerful movement in the Western civilization. Holland says, Christians had no land, they had no mother city, they had no claim of universal identity. They somehow transformed the whole world. How did they do that? It's this kingdom that's inaugurated by Jesus through his life and death on the cross and resurrection. John, in chapters 18 and 19, refers to the kingdom over a dozen times. And while the other synoptic gospel writers regularly talk about the kingdom, the teachings that Jesus had, the parables of the kingdom, John does not speak in the Gospel of John about the kingdom until this section. And he wants us to see that, yes, Jesus is the inaugurator and proclaimer of the kingdom. He embodies the kingdom by his character. He's demonstrated the power of the kingdom in miraculous healings and casting out of demons. And Jesus has taught that discipleship is to be one who seeks first the kingdom. Jesus is our mediator that enters us or brings us into the kingdom. But this text shows us there's a clash of kingdoms. It also shows us how his kingdom is contrasted to the kingdoms of this world. And then, what is his conquest? If he's a king, who does he conquer and how does he conquer? You see, first, this clash of kingdoms. John uses somewhat of a literary irony here, situational irony, you might say. Here, these religious hypocrites have falsely accused Jesus and have brought him to Rome's government, and they, in order to remain pure, stay outside because of a religious practice. It is a clash of religion. Jesus came, as you know, and pointed out how, even though Israel was the people of God, they missed the clear message. And they moved from a God-centered message of grace and favor to a man-centered message. And legalism is always a clash with the true kingdom ethic. John shines this light on legalism because not only are they hypocrisy or hypocrites, but they're defensive and prideful. When they are questioned, they said, of course he's guilty. We would not have brought him to you if we had not clearly seen that he is guilty. There's also a clash of civil kingdoms here. Now, Pilate was no man of character himself. History documents that he was perverse and cruel, and he had attacked Jewish worship services and murdered zealots. And he listens, but he hears nothing that would say that Jesus is guilty. But then John makes this notation, verse 32. This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken by the kind of death he was to die. When did Jesus speak about that kind of death? Well, in John 3, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be. And then in John 12, Jesus said, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. Jesus prophesied that he would be handed over, though innocent, to Rome, and he would be tortured and then crucified on a cross. Any kingdom of this world, whether it be religious or civil, that opposes the kingdom of God is a kingdom built on lies. And Satan would want to confuse Christians into believing lies. Satan lies about our future. He tells us there is no judgment for everyone. He lies about the past. Jesus existed, but he was just a good man. Satan lies about nations, that certain races are superior or certain races are inferior. He lies about character and trust and community. He says, just because everyone does it, maybe it's not wrong. He says, your consequences of your actions don't hurt others. And yet there's an alternative. Jesus says, there's a contrast in kingdoms. Jesus says, his kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, but that I might deliver them over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Several of us, a few years ago, were traveling to Israel, and we arrived in Frankfurt, Germany, only to realize there had been a power outage. We were told later that it was a terrorist attack, and we were stuck inside this airport, and there was some limited lighting and limited power, but there was no way to see clearly. It was total chaos, people trying to figure out not only if they were safe, but what was this
potential, power, persuasion, and pride. The kingdom of God relies on the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. This kingdom of the world is natural and is blind to truth and discount consequences for their sin. But the kingdom of God, those citizens are born again. They have been regenerated. The kingdom in this world is a different set of priorities. It prioritizes success and fame and power and wealth. This kingdom prioritizes righteousness, peace,
I promise I won't lengthen the sermon, but I want to finish this story. I said that Dan was a Gandalf figure. He would show up at times and just pray for me or hold my hands up. He was Gandalf in that he was very large, and I often felt like a little hobbit, a mere hobbit. But he was Gandalf in a coonskin cap and cowboy boots. And he would always point me to this truth. That's what elders do. That's what fathers do. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ do. They point you to the kingdom. And they remind you, your best life is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He will take care of the rest. You know, in The Lord of the Rings, Frodo, feeling heavy, told Gandalf at a visit, "I wish the ring had never come to me." And you know, oftentimes we all feel that way. Whatever responsibilities that we have, we feel weighed down. We feel overwhelmed. And Gandalf put his arm around Frodo. He called him by name and he said, "So everyone feels that way who've seen times as this, Frodo. But it's not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that's been given us. We don't know when we'll be taken. We don't know who will be taken. We don't know what we'll face. We are promised a bright tomorrow, but we're not promised a tomorrow that we can decide or control. And yet those who've been conquered can live in repentance and can live in thankfulness because they belong to the Savior." Now, Tom Holland in his book, Dominion, concludes by saying, "What's so ironic is the symbol of the Christian movement throughout the centuries is that torture symbol of death, that cross that says, if any man wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Paul said to the Galatians this, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it was written, cursed is everyone who is hanged upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles and be received by faith." We have the covenant promise now that the blessing and favor rest on us. We can be free to seek first the kingdom. We can live not for ourselves, but for Christ. We can repent of sin. We can be hopeful to tomorrow. We don't have to fear the future. Where does that come from? The conquering King that we listen to and follow. Let's pray. Thank you, King Jesus, for conquering our resistance and rebellion. Thank you for this kingdom that we're called to follow you and to show the light, your light, to the world. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, we pray today would be the day of salvation. And we pray, Lord, that you would change us and strengthen us for Jesus' sake. Amen.